Is Sunday, January the 5th, 2020. Our message is entitled Three Great Words from God for the New Year, and our text is Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Please follow along in God's Word as I read. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this verse in Paul's letter to the Church of Rome. We are reminded that this is not merely the writings of a man, but it is the inspired, living Word of God. And so, Lord, we want to understand your truth. We want to be filled with your truth, because your truth is the instrument by which your Holy Spirit uses to transform us from being like ourselves to being like Jesus. And so we pray that you would speak to our hearts this message, that we would indeed enter the year with three great words from you to strengthen us, to encourage us, to glorify thy name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This is a time for many of us of reflection on the old year, and a time of wishing and hoping for the new year. I think back as your pastor, and I am reminded of those who have gone to heaven and their families who still mourn and miss their loved ones. I'm reminded that several of you received diagnoses which you certainly would not have wished on your worst enemy. But God has given you grace, and you're here to bring in the new year. We enter this new year, and we are reminded that we live in very desperate and dangerous times. We heard about our embassy in Iran being attacked, and praise God for the Marines who were there to immediately thwart that attack. And now we have heard of the killing of a terrorist responsible for the death of hundreds of United States warriors. And that has been met with threats from Iran. And that has been returned with promises of attack from our president on Iran. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what the remainder of the day has, and that could cause us to begin to enter a new year in despair. But I want to assure you that that is not God's intended purpose for any of us today. God doesn't want us to enter the new year with fear of the unknown. He reminds us in His Word that He is always with us, that He'll never leave us, that He will never forsake us. And isn't it wonderful that at the very moment that we were born again into the family of God, that the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, took up residence within us? You know, I don't believe that any of us have even come close to scratching the surface to understanding the power and the blessing and the grace of the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. Let us not do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit in this new year. In this verse of Holy Scripture, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he is sharing with them a blessing, a promise, a benediction from God Himself to the church. And we're the church. This building is merely a meeting house. We, the people of God, the children of God, are the church. And in this promise, this benediction, he talks about the God of hope filling us with joy and peace and hope through believing and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us this year and every year and every moment of our life to live, dear Christians, with hope and peace and joy. And this hope of God, this joy of God, this peace of God, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment, is not impacted. Now listen to me. It is not impacted by the world, or by others, or even by us. It is a promise of God. We just need to do one thing. We need to change our perspective a little bit. We need to refocus. You know, when I go to my eye doctors, every time I go, my prescription has changed. And those of you who go to the eye doctors, you know that he'll show you this lens through this machine, and he'll say, "Is it better?" And you say, "Yes, it's better." And then he begins that time where he says, "Okay, how about this? And then how about this one?" And he switches it back and forth, and you usually can't tell a real difference, but sometimes he'll flick it to one lens, and it's just like it's perfect. It's crisp, it's clear, it's bright. And you say, "That's it." And you get your new glasses, and you put them on, and all of a sudden, it's kind of like a different perspective. You can see things so much clearer. Dear loved ones, when we go through this life, first of all, Jesus never promised us that it would be easy. He never said, "If you follow me, it's going to be gee whiz and hallelujah and ice cream socials." He never said you're going to be prosperous. He never said that you're going to sow a seed in this oily-haired false preacher and you're going to reap a whirlwind of money. He did not say that. Jesus said, "You're going to go through trials and tribulations." Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." But Jesus said, "Don't fear, because I have overcome the world." And so when we go through life and when we have these things that happen to us, and we have loved ones who go to heaven, when we go through these difficult times where maybe we lose a job, or maybe where we have financial difficulties, or God forbid that a relationship begins to fall apart, or we fall into sin and begin to get away from God, understand this: God wants you to have hope and peace and joy. And so we change our perspective. How do we change our perspective in this coming year? Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You see, when we begin to turn our focus less and less from a temporal world and a temporal life and more towards the eternal, towards the kingdom of God, we find the hope of God. We find the peace of God, and we will find the joy of God. It's not like it's just mysteriously appeared. It's always been there. We just need to change our focus. Now, that doesn't mean that this temporal world and this temporal life, all of a sudden, we don't care about that. No, this is the only life that we currently know. This is the only body that I know. And this is the only earth that I know. And so things that impact us and things happen to us are important. And we're grateful that we live in a time of medical advances, and we live in a time of a strong defense and of the greatest nation on earth. But when we focus on the eternal, we're going to be filled with hope, and we're going to be filled with joy, and we're going to be filled with peace. Let's take these three words in this wonderful verse, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's begin with the word hope. You know, in our English language, we use the word hope on a somewhat daily basis, if you think about it. You might say, "I hope that Pastor Scott gets done by 12 o'clock. It's possible, but it's not probable. When we use the word hope in our English language, we are talking about a desired possibility, right? "I hope that such and such team wins." But you have no way of knowing if that's going to be the case. "I hope that the weather is thus and such," but you have no way of controlling the weather. But when the Word of God uses the word hope, it has a completely different meaning than our English word. Every time in the Word of God, when you see that word hope, it is talking about a certainty, an absolute certainty that you may not have yet fully realized. The Bible says that when we become born again, we become citizens of heaven, right? Anybody been to heaven? No. We haven't been there. We haven't seen the streets of gold. We haven't seen the crystal sea. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ sitting high and lofty on His thrones. Yet the Bible says we are a citizen of heaven. And as we grow older and as we grow more mature in the Word of God, we begin to long for a home that we haven't yet been to. Heaven is a hope in the Word of God. It is the hope of heaven. It is not something that we desire, and it is a possibility. It is something that when we are born again becomes a certainty that one day we will fully and truly realize. It belongs to us now. You know, we go through this life and it isn't easy, and we weep and we have tears and we experience death. We lose our loved ones, our mother and father and our grandparents and sometimes our spouse and, God forbid, even children. And we go through this and we're filled with sorrow and we're filled with crying and we live this life and we have pain. But God's Word promises us in the hope of heaven, the reality of heaven that we haven't yet fully realized, that when we get there, all those things are going to be gone. That God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. That in heaven there will be no death, that there will be no sorrow, there will be no crying. Praise the Lord, there will be no pain. Because the former things have passed away, because in heaven there is no sin. So when the Bible talks about hope, and when we change our perspective and not focus so much on the temporal world, but on the kingdom of God, we are filled with the hope of the promises of the Bible. Now, to know the promises of the Bible, we got to know the Bible, right? Because in the early chapters of Genesis to the last chapters of Revelation, God promises to His people. And you've made a good step. You're here on the Lord's Day. You're here to worship the Lord. And part of that worship is the ministry of the Word. And so we are looking today at some of those promises. And some of you came before the worship service and you came for Sunday school. And so you were here to study the Bible even more. And some of you are going to bring your children, not only to Sunday school, but to Awana's and to Tag Team. And there they're going to study God's Word and they're going to learn those verses and they're going to hide them in their heart that they may not sin against God. But if we just wait for maybe 30 minutes on Sunday, once a week, to study the Word of God, we're never going to fully understand the promises that God has given us. That means we have to individually study the Word of God. We have to set aside time. We have to guard time each day of the week to go and have that quiet time with the Lord and His Word. And to let the Holy Spirit who is the divine author of the Word of God, to illuminate that truth and speak to us and to share these promises of God that will give us hope. You know, the thing about hope is it fills us with optimism, doesn't it? It excites us. You know, one time I was going through such a difficult time. This was before I came to Traveler's Rest. I was so heartbroken. I felt like I was failing in my ministry, not by sin, but just that it wasn't being received. And I was so broken. I sat down to do my quiet time with the Lord, to study in His Word. And I didn't just open the Bible anywhere. I opened it up to where I was going to be reading for that morning. And I opened to Philippians 3:13, and I read this: "Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, brothers and sisters, I read that promise of God, and I was so broken, and I just needed to hear from God. I needed to know that God was there to guarantee what He was doing through me. And as I read that, there was such a reality of God in that room that if Jesus would have walked in and I saw the nail-pierced hands as Thomas did, it couldn't have been any more real. I broke down in tears when I saw in my heart that I was in the presence of God. Dear loved ones, when we get into the Word of God, we'll get into the promises of God, and we'll realize the hope of God. Hope produces patience and persistence. Real quick, listen as I read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and following, and see the progression in our faith when we get into the Word of God. Listen to this, Romans 5, 1 and following. "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." You ever thought about that? That God wants us to glory in tribulations? When we get into His Word, we will see the tribulations as trials for us to grow in our faith. Knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope helps us face the future. Not the hope from the English word, but the hope from the Word of God. Hope is a product of the promises of the Lord to us. Hope is a product of the presence of the Lord Jesus with us. Hope is a product of the power of our Lord who works within us to fulfill His will. We change our perspective and we get into the Word of God and we study the promises of God and we become filled with hope. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Number two, joy. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's talk about that word joy. You know, we make a distinguishing line of demarcation between the English word hope and the word hope in the Bible. And when we come to the word joy, we need to understand and not make misunderstandings about the word joy. You know, sometimes people think the word joy is the same thing as happiness. But they're not the same thing. Because happiness is a result of something that happens to you or something that happens to your loved one. That's what makes us happy. But joy is so much deeper, friends. We ought not to confuse the word joy with pleasure. Someone much smarter than me once said that pleasure is the pause between two pains. Think about that. Pleasure is the pause between two pains. But joy, dear loved ones, Christian joy, is being thankful for who God is and for what God has given us through the death, burial, resurrection of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That is what gives us joy. It is being thankful for who God is. It is being thankful for what God has done through His only begotten Son, Jesus. Listen, God wants each and every one of us today to be filled with the joy of forgiveness. You ever really sat down and thought about your sins? You know, I kind of follow the lead of my pastor, Pastor Coleman. He never stood up in the pulpit and talked about his old life before he came to Christ, because he said there wasn't anything to bring glory to God about in it. And I believe the same way. But dear loved ones, if you sit down and you think about your life and you think about your sins and you think about that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary bore the penalty for every one of your sins and my sins, for the sins of the world, it will bring joy to your heart to know you have been completely forgiven. God wants us to be filled with the joy of forgiveness. He wants us to be filled with the joy of eternal life. This life is temporal. Unless Jesus Christ comes back before we die, we're going to die. It's a temporary life. But we have been promised by God in His Word eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, usually when we think about eternal life, we think about eternal life in terms of quantity, and we forget about quality. You know, the greatest day that we could ever have on this earth pales in comparison to what life will be like in the presence of God. You know, the greatest worship that we could ever have here as brothers and sisters in Christ in the name of Jesus pales in comparison to what it's going to be like to worship in heaven. God wants to fill us with the joy that we have eternal life waiting for us. We have that promise. We haven't yet fully realized it. God wants to fill us with the joy of belonging in His family. When we were born again, we became adopted children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. The only begotten Son of God we are joint heirs with. He's our big brother. And we haven't yet fully realized what it means to be adopted children of God. But one day when we get to heaven and we see Adam and we see Eve and we see Abraham and we know all of them by name, and it's just like we've known them their entire lives and our entire lives, and when we see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we'll begin to understand what it means to be part of the family of God. God wants to fill us with the joy of knowing that we will go to heaven when this life is over. You know, I've seen at times where saints of God have come to that point where they began to cry out for Jesus. I'll never forget going and seeing Connie Massey. He was laying on his bed. He was looking up, and the only thing he was saying was, "Jesus, come get me. Jesus, come get me. Jesus, come get me." And I've seen other times where people have been to that point where Christ is about to come and call them home, and the family is fighting, and no, let's give them more medicine. Let's do everything we can to keep them around. And they are pleading to go to heaven. Dear loved ones, it comes the point when we begin to realize more and more that we're just pilgrims passing through on this earth, and we long for our mansion that Jesus is preparing for us. God wants to fill us with the joy that comes as a result of serving others and helping others to enter this life of faith. What you know, we have so many people here at Traveler's Rest who serve, and most of them, people don't even know. They do it behind the scenes. You know why they do it? They obviously don't do it for recognition. They certainly don't do it for pay, because there is none. They're not doing it because they think they're earning the way to heaven, because they know that they're saved by faith and not by works. They do it because of the joy of serving the Lord and serving others. And then God wants to fill us with peace. His wonderful, wonderful peace. Life isn't easy. And as we change our perspective and focus more and more on the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it doesn't change the fact that there's going to be chaos in our life. We don't like chaos. We like things orderly. We're children of God. God likes things orderly. But when chaos comes into our life, when we get bad news about a disease, when our loved ones suffer, when things happen that directly impact us or our loved ones, it brings that chaos in, and it begins to the point where we cannot control what is going on. And of course, as Christians, we pray, and that's the right thing to do. We bring it to God. And we take advantage of all the blessings that God has given us in medical science and whatever other opportunities God has given us. But dear loved ones, in the midst of all of that turmoil and fear, you can have peace that surpasses all understanding. You can claim this promise, Romans 8:28. I claim it all the time. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, no matter what happens to you, Christian, including your own sin, this is how sovereign God is, that He can work through your own sin. Now, He doesn't tell us to sin. He doesn't want us to sin. God hates sin. But God, in His sovereignty, can take anything that happens because He's in complete control. And He can cause it to work for your good and His glory. You know, sometimes we don't notice it right away. Sometimes, maybe a year or two down the road, we'll look back and we'll see the footprints of Christ in our life. We'll see His handiwork, how He took this horrible thing that had happened and He used it to maybe change us or to strengthen us, to increase our faith. I believe the reason sometimes people, when things happen and they get so angry with God and they even curse God and they even say they're not going to believe in God, number one, it may be because they truly weren't saved, but number two, it may have been simply because God was working through that event to draw you to Himself. Now think of my dear brother Ken who went to heaven, and you know, Ken was an active and a faithful member of Traveler's Rest, of Sunday school, and a men on mission. And Ken made a point to come, even when it was took every ounce of strength for him to come. But you know, I watched as Ken went through that terrible battle with brain cancer. He grew and grew and grew in his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out of this world, and let me tell you something. He was ready to be with Jesus. Folks, I don't know the reason things always happen, but I do know this. God loves us enough that He will use it for our good and His glory. And that gives us peace, doesn't it? You know, Romans 15:13, our text affirms that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that this life of hope and joy and peace is made possible. It is the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessings of hope and joy and peace from God. They come to us through believing in and trusting in the goodness and the graciousness of God. Listen to Hebrews 11:16. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How's your faith in God? You say, oh, I believe in God. Well, let me ask you something. Do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He left the glories of heaven and put His feet on this world of woe to live the life that we could not live and then to die the death that we deserve to save us from our sins? Listen, God wants us to rejoice this year in His hope. God wants to fill us with His joy. God wants to fill us with His peace, and He will do this in us and to us and for us and through us by the power of His Holy Spirit if we will respond to Him in faith. I don't know where you stand with Jesus. I know some of you, and I know that you love the Lord. Some of you I may not know as well. Listen, it doesn't matter. You cannot have the hope and the joy and the peace of God if you do not have a loving, saving relationship with the Son of God. We're going to bow our heads and hearts, and we're going to have a time of prayer before we go to the Lord's table. And listen, if you're here today and you don't have that loving, saving relationship with Jesus, if you cannot say, I know that, I know that, I know that, if I were to die today, I would immediately go in the presence of Jesus in heaven. If you cannot say that Jesus Christ is clearly the Lord of my life and the Savior of my soul, then, dear friends, would you turn from your sin today and come to Him by faith? Maybe you'd begin to pray and ask Him to save you. Maybe you'd pray something like this, Lord, I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves your righteous judgment, but I'm asking for your mercy today. Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you. I turn from my sins to you, Lord Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you paid my sin debt with your blood on the cross. I believe God raised you from the dead. Jesus, right now, this moment, with all of my heart, I am turning from my sins and I am coming to you by faith. I am trusting you, Jesus, to save me. Jesus, make me the person you would have me to be. And help me never to be ashamed of you. Because you died for me, Jesus, I will live for you. Amen.